Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. We are so glad to see you on this bright, sunshiny morn. Now, if you would please, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship by singing a hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside of your bulletin. I guess probably one of the most important things I want to call to your attention has already been noted with your insert. If you will look and read the description of the creative arts worship experience that we're going to be offering in July, that became very, very popular last year and filled up very quickly because it has a limited number of spaces. Make certain that you get your grandchildren's name or your children's name in on the list as quickly as you can so that they don't miss out on this excellent opportunity. Also in the bulletin is another important event that's going to take place the next week, which is the appreciation dinner for Pastor Terry and for Linda. We've just come back from annual conference, and I'm sure you will be hearing more from those of us who went. It was a very peaceful conference. Nothing contentious, no fusses, very pleasant. Everything went well, and everything that was supposed to be passed got passed. So some of us were out last Sunday because of that, but their appointments were read, and it is final. You know, nothing is ever final until the bishop says it is. And so things are final, and although we hate to see Pastor Terry and Linda leave, that is our Methodist way. And Pastor Phil and his wife Lori Threlkill will be in the next Sunday after our appreciation dinner. I also hope that you made a note and looked at some of the announcements in the sheet that was in your classroom, the update, Sunday update. In addition to those two announcements is the Vacation Bible School, another event that our children enjoy and that has really had good response. Please note that they need to make certain your children are registered. Upper rooms are available. And I also wanted to call to your attention the five-day fun camp that is listed. Bible lessons, songs, games, memory verses. Do you remember? We used to have to learn memory verses, and that's going to be part of this camp too. So you might want to notice the 23rd through the 27th so that you can participate in that. And as usual, breakfast cooks. That breakfast is an important event. So do note, we can use some more help in the kitchen as well as to help us defray some of the cost. Now let us continue to secure our minds and hearts as we practice our worship service. Please continue this thought as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Would those who are able please stand for the call of worship? The Holy Spirit has given us life and pours on us the power to become new people. Come here in faithfulness and be ready for the surprises that God's Spirit will bring.
Join with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. Let us pray together. O God, in mystery and silence, you are present in our lives, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. We thank you that you do not leave us alone, but labor to make us whole. Help us to perceive your unseen hand in the unfolding of our lives, and to attend to the gentle guidance of your Spirit, that we may know the joy you give your people. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Our epistle reading this morning is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It would be chapter 6, verse 6 through 17. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home or in the body or away with it, from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for things done while in the body, both good or bad. Since then, we know that is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are plain to God, and we also are plain to our conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you the opportunity to take pride in us, so that we answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. We are out of our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that the one died for all. And therefore all died, and he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we can do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old is gone, and the new is here. Our gospel lesson will be from the gospel according to Mark, verses 26 through 34, and will we please stand for the gospel? He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters a seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, and then the head, then the full kernel in the head. So as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again, I say, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like the mustard seed, which is the smallest seeds of all the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, and its big branches that it is such big branches that the birds can perch in the shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained his everything to them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Seated. We'd like to go to prayer at this time, remembering the various needs within our church family, and the ones that we are aware of are Vera Tharp, Billy Tungstall, Jay Pendergrass, Wesley, Tanya Hodges. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, on this special day, on Father's Day, we unite our hearts and our minds together, and we pray for those who are a part of our family, for our fathers and for our mothers and for our children. And especially today are we in prayer for our young people, for Jessica and our youth who have gone to Union Sacahatchee. And we pray that you will bless them as they go forward now to be ministers in mission and work. We pray for Josie and Jay and Ethan, that you will be with them. Gracious God, look upon them with your favor and be present with them as they sling hammers and paint and tear up things and replace things. Strengthen them. Give their bodies rest in the evening so they can be diligent during the day. And may they learn that service to you goes in many varieties of ways. Keep Jessica and Josie and Jay and Ethan in your loving hands to protect them. And we thank you for this opportunity to give and for our young people to be a part. We thank you again, dear God, for our fathers. And we pray, dear God, that you will bless them and enable them to be the type of leaders they should be. Gracious God, we thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of your grace and for calling us to be brothers and sisters to each other. Today we pray for our fathers who have given us life and love that we may show them respect and love. Lord, in your love, hear our prayers. For fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer. For men, though without children of their own, who like fathers have nurtured and cared for us, Lord, in your love. For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families, Lord, in your love. Loving God, our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth, and grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Almighty God, we thank you again for this time of worship, for this privilege to give to that which we trust and yet we do not see with our eyes, to your kingdom in various places throughout this world. Bless these gifts. Bless the giver and those who have not and those who chose not to give this day. Use all this for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that men and women and boys and girls may come to the saving knowledge of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Let the children come forward, please.
More coming down. Come on. There you go. Very good. We have a slim crowd this morning. Hi. Okay, which one of you can tell me what today is? Father's Day. Does everybody call their father, father? What do you call your father? Dad. Some people say daddy. I say daddy. I'm daddy's girl. And some people say pa. And some people say pop. And some say da. And some say dad. So a lot of dads have a lot of different names. And dads have a big responsibility, right? What are dads supposed to do? What do you think? Take care of you? Right? Make sure that you're where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be sometimes. Right? And sometimes lead you. Sometimes they have to punish you, you know, if you've been bad. But for the most part, they're there to be for you and to comfort you and to love you. Just love you to pieces. Right? I want you to stand up and look out here. Can y'all stand up and look out here? Some of you are short. You may have to stand up here. You want to stand up here? I want you to be able to see out here. All right, we're going to do something. We want all of the dads or the fathers to stand up. If you're a father, stand up. Look how many fathers we have. How about that? Okay, now, if you are not a grandfather, sit down. If you're not a grandfather. If you are not a great-grandfather, sit down. Look, we have great-grandfathers. Do we have a great-great? Okay, very good. So we have a lot of fathers in our church. Did you see that? A lot of fathers. And they have an awesome responsibility. But you know what? We all have different fathers, right? Is your dad my dad? That would be pretty tough. Yeah, that would be pretty tough. His name is not Strom. No, we don't have the same father. But that would be really weird. It would, if you and I were brothers and sisters, that'd be pretty weird, wouldn't it? Yeah, I know. Like, you wouldn't want to hang out with me or anything, would you? No, I knew it. But the thing is, you are my brother. Huh? Yes, you are. And she's my sister. And he's my brother, and she's my sister. See, we look just alike, don't we? And he's my brother, and he's my brother. You know why? You know why? Because we all have one Father in God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have a heavenly Father that connects all of us. So no matter what, maybe you don't have any brothers and sisters, or maybe you just have one brother, one sister, whatever. But in the family of God, all of those people out there are your brothers and sisters. How about that? And all those fathers out there are your fathers. And if you needed something in this church, those men out there have a responsibility to step up, don't they? To help you if for some reason you needed something, because they're fathers, and that's what fathers do. So let's pray. We're going to pray. We're going to have prayer. And we're going to pray to the ultimate Father, the Father of all of us, okay? I want you to repeat after me, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, blessed be your name. Thank you for our fathers and for being our Father. In thy name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen. Thank you.
Be seated. Well, as this was so effectively presented in our children's sermon, that this is Father's Day, and it is a joy, I know, for many of you and for me as well, to have some of my family here. My son is with us today, and I got a hymn book down here. It's about to trip me over, so I'll slide it off to the side. But it's good to have my son with me, and my daughter and her family were coming, but the vehicle broke down, so they weren't able to make it. So maybe they can make it at some other time. But it is a joy. I'm reminded of a lot of the wonderful fun times that we had when we were a family together. My daughter was at school, and they were asking for volunteers for the class. And my little girl raised her hand and says, "My daddy will be glad to come. He doesn't have a job. He's a preacher." And so as we think about those type statements and the environments in which they are presented, obviously that story here hits a funny bone, because you know that preachers do have a very demanding job most times, and she just didn't quite understand it because Dad was close to the house. I didn't go out and have a regular job. And so some things are funny when you put them in the context of where they were said, and you might tell this jokes or this story somewhere else, and it might not be so funny. And Jesus this morning talks in parables, and he teaches in parables and throughout Scripture, as we know. And I remember when I was at Emory, finishing there my last semester, and a professor said, "I want you to take a course in preaching the parables." And it wasn't something that I would have done had I been given the choice, but since I was told that's what I needed to do to graduate, I thought that's what I would do. So I took this course on preaching the parables. And now I have a greater appreciation for the parables and enjoy preaching them from them as today. But Jesus here, as he begins to share with us about the seed and the planting and the farmer who goes out and the work that he does, it brings to me a lot of memories of my experience in the ministry and as a young person working out in the field with my grandmother at times. And one day, while a young minister, I was visiting this parishioner, and he and I were walking out across this fresh plowed field. And he reached down and grabbed a handful of soil, and he kind of rubbed it in his hand, and he smelled it, and he kind of looked at it, and he said, "Yeah, it needs a little something." And he named what it was. It might have been potash, it might have been lime, it might have been something else. I don't remember. But I realized at that moment that I was walking in the field with a professional, a man who knew what it took to plant and to produce in mass quantities whole fields of corn or cotton or wheat. And he had a huge tractor. And it was amazing to watch this professional work. And he had been a part of this farmland for generations. His father's father had lived on this land, and his son was going to inherit this property. And so there had been generations upon generations of this family had lived right there. And then one Sunday, the entire family came to the altar. Things had not gone so well on the farm. And even though this man was a professional and he knew what to do, he was dependent upon other outside influences to help his crop be a success. And the fact was that he had planted, and year after year after year, no harvest to make a profit. And they literally had spent all they had and had not had one successful year in about 4 or 5. In this passage of Scripture that we read today, you might look at it and your conviction might lean more toward the quality of the seeds. Some of you may think more about the quality of the soil. Or some of you may look more toward the person who is doing the plowing and the harvesting. The reality is that when you read this parable, Jesus doesn't necessarily tell you exactly which one is more responsible than the other. It's something that you could look at and you could discuss maybe in a Sunday school class. But one thing that we understand is Jesus speaks to us in parables that they touch many of us in different ways. They speak to our heart in many different aspects of our lives. And as I think about parables and I think about the Gospels and Matthew, Mark, and Luke as we read them, and as the church has responded in teaching these parables and understanding them for almost 2,000 years, there are other parables that we have gleaned from. The parable of St. Augustine of Martin Luther, of others that maybe we have read some of their books and some of their letters, John Wesley. We think about the way that these parables have been unfolded in our generations and in our lifetime. They're the gospel of maybe your father, or the parable of your father, or the parable maybe of Aunt Mary, or the parable of your grandmother. I think when I speak about this of my great-grandmother, how that she was such a praying woman. And I told you the story in the past that my dad was in World War II in Germany on the battlefield and said something would wake him up and say, "Boy, your grandmother's praying for you." It's a parable and a story that I remember, and a parable that reaffirms to me the power of prayer. Myself, being in the military, and at times being overseas, and having guys to come to me and say, "I want you to know that I know that my mother is praying for me, or that my dad is praying for me. I have a family and they are holding me up in prayer while we're over here in this conflict, or they're praying for me while I'm in the military to live a life that is positive." These are the parables that touch our lives. And maybe you can think about the parables of those, a parable of a Sunday school teacher, or the parable of a neighbor. Just this past week, Lynn and I were working to prepare for the move, and we were building us a storage shelter so we could put some things that we had gleaned into a storage for a little while, and we built a shelter. And a neighbor came from across the street, uninvited. But he came over and says, "I just thought I'd come over and give you a hand." And he worked with us for 2 days. It's a parable of Joe and of a good neighbor. And so when I think about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it's written across our hearts and written across our land and written in our churches and written out in the streets, these parables that come to life. Maybe we too can think of some negative parables. Parables of crabby bosses. The parable of Christian co-workers. The parable of kids who won't clean up their rooms. And the mother who threatens them. The parable of the flat tire while having on a new suit. The parable of a school where children don't feel safe and kids must attend. The parable of parents who don't have a clue. The parable of the empty cupboard and the overflowing bills. I remember my mom and dad, and this being Father's Day, when my parents came to me and says, "There won't be much for Christmas this year. You might get one toy." And that Christmas I got one toy, and every time I'm in a store and I see a log truck, I think of that Christmas, because that's what I got that Christmas. A log truck. And I enjoyed playing with that little truck because I knew that it had been given to me out of love. And maybe you have parables that are the same way in your life. Parables that were made more precious because of love. And as we read these parables and as we think about the parables of what it means to be a father, on this special day, I would like to share with you a writing from Brett Blair regarding Bill Crosby, who wrote a book entitled Fatherhood. And Bill Crosby says, "Now that my father is a grandfather, says he can't wait to give money away to my kids. But when I was his kid and I asked him for 50 cents, he would tell me the story of his life, how he would get up at 4 a.m. when he was 7 years old, walk 23 miles to milk 90 cows, and the farmer for whom he worked had no bucket, so he had to squirt the milk into his little hand and then walk 8 miles to the nearest can, all for 5 cents a month. The bottom line result, he said, was I never got my 50 cents. But now every time his father comes to his house, he reaches into his pocket and says, well, let's see how much money old granddad has for his wonderful kids. And the minute they take the money out of his hands, I call them over and I snatch it away from them. He said, because that's my money. He says, for Father's Day, Crosby says, I give each of my kids $20 so that they can go out and buy me a nice gift that totals $100. He said, they go to the store and buy 2 packs of underwear, each which costs $5. And contains 3 shorts. They tear open the underwear, and each kid wraps 1 pair. The 6th pair is given to the Salvation Army. He said, therefore, on Father's Day, I'm walking around with new underwear. My kids are walking around with $90 in their pockets. Father's Day is not a religious holiday. It is a secular day. But it is important for us to affirm the role of fathers. When it seems as though in our society there is an attack upon the family unit as a whole, when there are people who desire to be single parents, when there are young men who father children and never have any intention of ever being involved in their lives, that is not the way that God intended. God intends for all of us to be involved in raising our children, but today we're focusing on fathers. The role of the father is to be connected to God, is to be an example in the family of love and care, of knowing how to speak to children with loving words and sometimes to discipline the children as God the Father disciplines us. It is not for us as fathers to be overly critical. I shared with the early church that when my dad would discipline me, he never disciplined me when he was angry. I sure thought he was angry sometimes. But after each discipline, he would pull me to himself and he would hold me and he would tell me how much he loved me and how much the disciplining was hard for him. I didn't understand it then. I understand it a little more now. Dads are to be supporting and loving and attentive to their children as God intends for us to be. As I think about Jesus and his earthly father, it is said that after Jesus became a grown man, that it was assumed that Joseph had died. And so as we hear Jesus, how he responds to his disciples and how he responds to others, that Jesus received some pretty good upbringing. from Joseph. Joseph was with Mary when Jesus was lost there in the temple, and they were searching for Jesus together. It is said that Joseph was with Jesus when he experienced the rite of circumcision. He was there as a father. Mary was not allowed to be anywhere around. Joseph was that loving, guiding hand in the life of Jesus that even was a part when Jesus said, "Abba, Father," he was literally saying, "Daddy." And that response that he had learned from Joseph, or the response was a result of what he had learned from Joseph. Irma Bombeck writes as well about fathers, and said that an angel was standing near to God when God was creating a father, and said he first started with a tall frame. A female angel nearby said, "What kind of father is that? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why are you putting fathers up so high? He won't be able to shoot marbles without kneeling, or tuck a child in bed without bending, or even kiss a child without a lot of stooping." And God smiled and says, "Yes, if I made him child-sized, who would the children have to look up to?" And when God made a father's hands, they were large and sinewy. And the angel shook her head sadly and said, "Do you know what you're doing? Large hands are clumsy. They can't manage diaper pins, small buttons, rubber bands on ponytails, or even remove splinters caused by baseball bats." And God smiled and said, "I know, but they're large enough to hold everything a small boy empties out of his pockets at the end of the day, and yet small enough to cup a child's face in his hands." And then God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders, and the angel nearby almost had a heart attack. "Boy, this is the end of the week, all right," she clucked. "Do you realize you just made a father without a lap? How's he going to pull a child close to him without the kid falling between his legs?" And God smiled and said, "A mother needs a lap. A father needs strong shoulders to pull a sled, balance a boy on a bicycle, hold a sleepy head on the way home from the circus. God was in the middle of creating two of the largest feet anybody had seen when the angel could not contain herself. "That's not fair. Do you honestly think that these large boats are going to dig out of bed early in the morning when the baby cries? Or walk through a small birthday party without crushing at least three of the guests?" And God smiled and said, "They'll work, you'll see. They'll support a small child who wants to ride a horse, or scare off mice at summer camp, or display shoes that would be called a challenge to feel." God worked through the night, giving the father few words, but a firm, authoritative voice. Eyes that saw everything, but remained calm and tolerant. Finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears. And then he turned to the angel and said, "Now are you satisfied that he can love as much as a mother?" As I close this sermon this morning, I want to share with you some statistics. 4 out of every 10 children live in a fatherless home. The tide now has changed, but here are the details of how these are worked out in the, I think it's in the town of Georgia, in the state of Georgia. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. This is from the Bureau of Census. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes, the Center for Disease Control. 80% of rapists motivated and displaced with anger come from fatherless homes. Criminal Justice and Behavior, Volume 14, pages 403 through 26. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. National Principals Association report on the state of high schools. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. Rainbows for All God's Children is the source. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. U.S. Department of Justice special report. 85% of all youth sitting in prison grew up in fatherless homes. Fulton County, Georgia jail. Texas Department of Corrections. Role of fathers is important. The reality is that we do need both mothers and dads to raise a family. But today we're focusing on fathers. God bless the fathers who are doing good for their children. Those fathers who have not just shown it to be a duty, but have given love. Love that continues to touch children and to enable them to grow and to mature. May we realize that God calls us also to be connected to the church, to give guidance, leadership to the body of Christ, to be the person that He has created us to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 540, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. Out into the world in peace. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him.